Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The
Score! This hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2. On 670 the...
Now it is time to play a game. A game that I would like to call... A Tale of Two Comps, because with more bear success comes more people talking about the Bears and seeing what they see in the team. Howie Long compared Caleb Williams to one of the most prolific quarterbacks of his generation.
He's as comfortable rolling to his left, flipping his hips.
Komet?
Yes.
That deep
he's,
post.
You know what he is? He's, for me, he's John Elway from my generation.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So when you hear that, the thing I think about John Elway is obviously just his massive amount of yards, how he was able to also adapt over years. But that's quite the comparison when you hear Howie Long say that.
This is music to my ear hair.
Would you like another comp that I'm working on right now?
Yes.
This is just for right now, a decent comp to. And I even was like, come on, give me a break. Rex Grossman.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is it going on here?
Let's go to Kelso on the south side. Kelso, you're on Rahimi, Harris, and Grody.
Yo, hey, Layla, you got to excuse growth, man. Look, the dooming, I understand, but Rex Grossman? And I love Rex.
Right?
I love Rex.
What'd you prove to the haters?
We got a victory.
Patrick Manley, part of our Bears pre- and post-game shows. He, of course, also the longest tenured Bear.
I gave a Rex Grossman comp for Caleb Williams for this year.
Rex Grossman comp is kind of interesting because we won those first 9 or 10 games because of Rex. I mean, not just because of Rex, but, you know, when I talk about in the pregame, I want the game to be won because of Caleb. There were a lot of games that we won because of Rex's arm.
Tim Jenkins joining us to break down the film every single week.
Do you have a comp, or maybe you would just like to have an opinion on the two comps I just gave you?
I mean, to me, the closest comp, but again, he's not as big physically, to me, would be Josh Allen. You know, I don't know if there's a great comp for him, honestly.
Yeah,
because I do think he's that special.
Greg Grossman?
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score.
They tell me it's Wednesday, so I'm going to go with it. Happy Wednesday to you. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody. Mark Grody is off today because the Bears are off. He actually gets a real day off. The Bears' time shifted because they had extra time thanks to the Black Friday game, so that's why I'm a little off. Marshall Harris is back from doing the state championship games.
Woo-hoo!
That were also time shifted because of the snowstorm that's still on the ground today. So I'm glad to see you're back. And I feel like we're starting to get our bearings right as we embrace the midweek portion of Packer Week.
I like that during Packers Week, Grody gets that nice midday
off, like, because he gets the 2-day week and then the 2-day week, which of course is none of those things because he works on his off days because, you know, football happens and such on Sundays.
There are no days off.
So I'm just happy to be back here to discuss the things that matter, because this week is big, and no matter how you try to downplay it and say one game at a time and we're trying to go 1-0 this week, no, it's the Packers. It just means more, kind of like the SEC. It just means more.
This really does just mean more. You couldn't have timed this up better when it comes to making the statement they did against the Eagles in Philly. And then the next week it's Packers week.
Don't have to worry about a letdown, do you?
Well, and that's what, and you keep that same energy, in the words of a great NBA philosopher, one Steven Jackson. So I feel like that's the case here. And if you need to, if you're Ben Johnson, clarify the energy when it comes to what he said after watching film to the media, and then I think how it got purported nationally. I don't think we on this show took him out of context when he said we're winning in spite of the passing game, not because of it. I think that's just a fair assessment of the running game being so strong. And as we mentioned with Ruthie and David just now, the takeaways and the defense being so consistent in one of the biggest game-changing stats you can have in the NFL, if not the biggest. So you put that together, and yes, your passing game right now is not fully developed like the run game was. Then you get into it. But the headlines that have happened since then, Ben Johnson felt like he needed to clarify it yesterday. And so here's what he said to the media in his media session yesterday.
I think when I made that comment yesterday, it's easily to the construe it as I'm not happy with the quarterback. That's not the case whatsoever. He continues to get better each and every week. And I couldn't be more pleased with how he played last week. And I know what the stats say, throw those out the window. He's doing a really good job managing the ball game. And that's step number one for the quarterback. And so he's going to continue to get better. He's doing the process is really good right now with how he approaches the week. The way he's taking the coaching, the way he's applying the coaching, I'm very pleased with that. And I think we're going to continue to see him ascend, whether the stats tell the story or not.
I think fans and the like, and this is not going to happen when it comes to how media is published and how it's released. You're not going to get that context. So it comes down to us to be responsible with how we interpret it and read it. And when I heard Ben Johnson say what he said initially, which is the comment I brought up earlier about not winning because of the passing game, but winning in spite of it, that still is not a red flag to me. I'm not to the red flag portion yet where I'm asking, can this quarterback run certain concepts? I still believe he can. I haven't seen anything where Ben Johnson has to limit a playbook like was done for previous quarterbacks for the Bears. I haven't seen that yet. So I understand why he felt like he had to clarify it. I don't get any indication that the relationship with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson is strained. It's a shame that he has to when all he's doing is being a coach who's trying to see more out of his team.
This is the new age media where everything gets aggregated. And when things get aggregated, it's like the old game you used to play in elementary school, telephone. So like if I tell you something and you tell the next person something, and the further it aggregates down the line, the more muzzled the message gets.
I mean, it happens to us all, doesn't it?
It does. And
you
so,
said this. No, I never said that. Well, somebody on the internet said you said it. Oh, must be true.
Well, the interesting thing is in his actual quote where he's talking about the passing game and it not being the reason that they're winning, he's specifically talking about receivers not being where they're supposed to be as part of the conversation. He does talk about the quarterback in terms of fundamentally correct from a, you know, footwork standpoint and everything else, but the same thing applies to the other people, the pass catchers, the blockers. Everything that you want to talk about when you talk about passing game has to be aligned in order for it to take off in the same way that this running game has. And I would argue the running game is much more simple to execute because that's why offensive linemen love to run block as opposed to pass block.
When it comes to a conceptual standpoint, yeah, it's easier to hand off the ball and say, go get him. It's harder from a physical execution standpoint to do it the way they've been doing it. The way that the Bears have just been punishing opponents at the line of scrimmage and the blocks that they have drawn up for their tight ends, That's been absolutely huge. We know that. Like, that is a more developed part of this game. It's also the part that Ben Johnson said he wanted to develop after the bye week. And again, this is December 3rd. We knew that he said he wanted to see his team play its best version of the offense in December. Here we are. So even then, if the passing game doesn't look like how he wanted it to look with Caleb Williams the first year at the end of all of this, I'm still okay with that because the progress on the team is there.
It's great because there's still, as we've been saying for most of this season, post bye week, plenty of meat on the bone for that offense to clean off and add to the pile, if you will, if you're just out here taking a pork shank and just piling up your sandwich off of that shank. That sandwich is looking real tasty right now. And that's before we even get to the point where we get all the extra stuff right next, that the most flavorful meat is the one right next to the bone. And we're not even there yet with this offense. But he did expressly say that he's pleased with how Caleb Williams is developing. And this is actually what I expected to look like. The only thing that's not looking like what I expected to look like is their record of 9-3. Everything else has looked better as the season has gone on. And that includes Caleb Williams in this offense.
The eye test where it provides some cognitive dissonance is most likely in the simple throws, like a screen pass that the timing, for whatever reason, still isn't quite there. Like, he may be throwing it to a certain spot on the field, the back isn't there, or vice versa, and then it looks like it's a ball to the ground. You know, he's dirting a ball. Or it's some of the simple stuff that we've seen, for whatever reason, isn't there yet. There's a lot of that that's gone on. Or, I mean, even in the Eagles game, there was an interception off a screen pass. We just don't talk about it as much because the next thing that happened was the tush-push fumble, forced fumble recovery, Nashawn Wright, and then the ensuing drive, which was the Bears running it down the Eagles' throats. So I understand why it's worth a discussion. I am not to the panic level yet, partially because of answers like what we heard Caleb Williams say to Phil Thompson yesterday. Let's listen.
I think it ties into exactly what he said is route discipline, and then ball location. You know, obviously, you know, everything, I miss a pass and it looks a certain way and, you know, to everybody, and everybody doesn't know all the details. And so you go into that and you look at the stats and you look at all these, you know, percentages and whoop-de-doo, right? And so you go into all of that, and then from there, you know, we come back here and we actually look at the film and, you know, was I in the right spot? And, you know, was my drop right? You always look at yourself first, and then you go and you go look at the other guys and were they at the right spot? Were they at the right, you know, spot at the right time? And, and you try and tie those things together. And that's the fun part about football. That's the fun part about playing this position. That's the fun part about, you know, a long season is you have these ups and downs. You also have these moments where, you may not be, you know, hitting on all cylinders. And then you have these moments where, you know, it feels like you can't miss. And so, we're trying to get to the point where, you know, we feel like we can't miss. And we got a bunch of young guys, including myself, that are out there trying to make plays. It's a lot of film, it's a lot of talking, it's a lot of open communication that we've been having and have to keep having to get to the point where we're hitting on all cylinders at the right time this year.
Caleb Williams talking about Ben Johnson, talking about the passing game needing to where it needs to be here on Raheemy, Harris, and Grody. Mark's got the day off. He'll be back at House Hall tomorrow to give us all the insight. And I think what you have to understand here, and I'm speaking now to the fans that may be a bit jaded, maybe a bit affected by past quarterbacks and past coaches and the connotation of game manager.
You mean like when 815 says, sounds like talking about Nagy talking about Trubisky?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That. And then another 815, different 815 saying, Ben, manage the game. What? Stop it. The first step is to be able to manage the game. And when here's what I think of when I think of the context of Ben and Caleb talking about manage the game. Can you get to the freaking line of scrimmage without a pre-snap penalty? Is your cadence like it needs to be? Are you organized? Do you have time to audible if that needs to be the case and survey the defense? Caleb could not do those things in year one and at the beginning of year two. But guess what? How much have we been talking about penalties lately? Not much.
No. In fact, we talked about him drawing one himself.
And so that is part of football. And that is the most basic of basics when you're talking about someone being a quarterback of your team. Do you have control of what's going on when you go up to the line of scrimmage? Now, you're talking about the dirtying of balls and the other things. Hey, look, if people aren't where they're supposed to be, the smart play is to live to fight another play and don't take a sack. Just get rid of the ball.
You'd like to see there be adjustments made either upon the one running the route or the one throwing the ball. Like, the completion rate is what it is. I'm just not to the point of alarm yet.
If you're alarmed at 9-3 and what this team has shown you what they can do and what Caleb has shown you in clutch moments, what he can do when the game is on the line, I don't know what to tell you, because I think you have unrealistic expectations of a quarterback in year one of an offensive system and under a first-year head coach.
This is Rahimi Harris and Grody. Our segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. It's the bad search engine mode. It's people hearing certain terms and then just short-circuiting.
They're triggered.
It's okay to manage a game. Nobody is stopping him at being just a game manager. Context is good. Comprehension should be good.
Should be better. How about that?
Both.
Yeah, it should be better than what it is.
So, do you have reason to be concerned about some of the throws we mentioned? Sure.
You know what I say to that?
I'm not taking that away from people.
I quote the quarterback, whoop-dee-doo. When he said that, and I get it, you've been pre-programmed, as we all have, because Ben Johnson had a very stated goal in terms of completion percentage, which Caleb Williams is nowhere close to reaching. I understand that.
His standard is constructing the best offense in the NFL. Therefore, that should be the goal.
Not a top 10 offense, not a top 5 offense, the best offense.
Because he has. And in that first year that he was at the helm of it, it didn't look like it did as the most recent version. It didn't look like it did last year. It didn't look like it did the year before that. That 2022 season, as we mentioned, they started 1-6. But part of the reason was the defense.
Are you saying it takes time, Layla?
I mean, I've been saying it takes time, but the difference is, like, you can see that things need to improve. You can also know that they might improve at a slower rate, and that's okay because your team is winning games. Like, 773 says here, I do think he's behind on his throws too often, but we're cooking. That's it. It's much easier to grow when you know that the pressure isn't all on you.
Whoop-dee-doo. That's going to be my standard answer for anything
Whoop-dee-doo is great. I like whoop-dee-doo and I like rinky-dink. We don't use rinky-dink enough.
Yo, rinky-dink offense. We ain't got one of those, though, in Chicago, do we?
I mean, it's get the job done. You run the ball down your opponent's throat and dare them to make you different.
And then make an amazing play if you have to towards the end of the game with Caleb Williams doing franchise quarterback level things.
Or not, and it's okay. That's my point here. Because they're doing the things they originally wanted to do, I'm good with that. When you want to bring it up another level, okay, then we talk more. This is Rahimi Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Breaking news when we have it on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. That's Marshall Harris. I'm Layla Rahimi. Our producers are Ray Diaz, Tyler Buterbaugh, with the open that you heard earlier. We also have Brandon Fryer, who's helping us out as well. You can text us and call us. Some of you already know the number, 312-644-6767. We typically keep the phone lines open if you would like to vent. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score, our mob is up and running, and so is our video team. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And we're on YouTube. You can check us out there live. 670 The Score is our account on YouTube. Coming up next, we have to get into what could happen, though, in this game on Sunday. This is the face-off of Caleb Williams and Jordan Love. The last time these two teams met, advantage Bears. So how important is it for Caleb Williams to outplay Jordan Love this weekend? We'll discuss next.
And whoop-dee-doo.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do right.
Raheem Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2. On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Caleb Williams, who's looking for his first career game-winning drive to end his first season. It'll come down to Cairo Santos from 51 yards. Good snap. Good hold. The kick on the way by Santos, and it is good! Losing streak comes to an end on the final play of the regular season.
That was Joe Davis, courtesy of Fox Sports. Do you remember that? This is Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. That was back on January 5th of this calendar year.
You just said that so you can remind people that the Bears are 1-0. At Lambeau and 1-0 versus Green Bay in the year 2025.
That sounds undefeated to me.
Yeah.
It was a 24-22 win over the Packers. And I talked about this with Patrick Manley yesterday, Marshall, when we had him on. A lot of people wanted the Bears to lose that game to get a better draft pick. I completely understand that reasoning. But for whatever reason, I was like, no. They need to stop this losing streak. I don't care who the coach is going to be. I wanted the coach to be Ben Johnson. At that point, we knew there was an opening. But I do think it's important for a team to have something to come away with from a season like that. And I don't know why, but I tend to think that they say it didn't matter. They can't bring it over from last year or whatever, but I think that faith in yourself, knowing that you can beat the Packers at Lambeau, does somehow carry over to this season, and at least knowing that there was a bright spot and it builds. Is that too Pollyanna? Am I being too rose-colored glasses here?
I think to say that it doesn't matter speaks to not understanding how psychology works.
I get it. Like, there's no real effect. I get that.
Well, no, I think there is a psychological effect to having done something. It's like when you were a kid and you were doing, say, trick shots on a basketball hoop.
Kobe!
Yeah. So you took ridiculous-looking shots, you know, whether it was, you know, snapping the ball through your legs like a football, like a long snapper would, to see if you could make it. And you miss. If you actually make it, you're like, oh, I can do this. I believe I can do this. And I think for every one of the Bears that was there for that game at Lambeau, regardless of the circumstances. You say Green Bay wasn't trying as hard because they didn't need the win. You could say whatever you want. But for the Bears who experienced that, specifically the quarterback, remember, that stopped them from ending the season on an 11-game losing streak. There's different levels to it as well. But to get a win at Lambeau, he's only been to Lambeau once. What happened to Caleb Williams when he went to Lambeau Field?
1-0.
That to me, it means something. Now, I'm not saying it's a world beater or end all or anything, but I'm just saying he's going to go to Lambeau understanding that, oh, yeah, I've won here before.
That's it to me. I do think there is something to be said about, oh, we've done this, and we've been there. We've done that.
You know what that is, Layla? It's living in the known. because they know they can do it.
Oh,
they've done it.
It's a confidence level.
Yeah.
And I do think they're playing with that right now. I know that the first two or three games of the season this year weren't pretty. I get all of that. But I was thinking about it when I was on my way into work today. I thought about how much last year's game actually matters. I know it does to us, to we who are watching. But I don't necessarily know how much they I think there is an immeasurable to it. And when I hear that, it reminds me of that idea. Was that the original topic in question? No, this was. How important is it for Caleb Williams to outplay Jordan Love this time around? We know Jordan Love ended up only having 12 attempts in that game. Malik Willis also played in that game, so that changed matters for the Bears. But at the same time, this is the face-off of two of the newer generation quarterbacks. Can't say that as much about Jordan Love. He's a veteran now, but the bottom line is he's not Aaron Rodgers and he's not Brett Favre, and this feels new for everybody watching, knowing the Bears are embarking on this new era for them. This is another check mark and another benchmark for them in this, I think, a new order.
For Ben Johnson, I think it's important to have his quarterback at a certain bar, a certain level. I understand that everybody is really happy and high off of the running smash attack that we witnessed in Philadelphia. And you would love to see that happen again at Green Bay. At the same time, you can also say that you want to see Caleb Williams be the class of the NFC North. And this is an obstacle. And when you talk about who's better, Caleb Williams or Jordan Love? I can tell you this, Jordan Love is the more accomplished quarterback because he's done more because he's been playing longer. And you can say, well, even if he's been playing longer, he would have had a better, you know, first season. I mean, he had a pretty good first season after riding the pine and then learning and watching. But I think this week is important. I don't think he necessarily has to outplay Jordan Love if they go ahead and get the win, but it would be a nice thing to see in terms of his development and taking the next step to where he needs to be if they want this to be the playoff run that a lot of people are dreaming about since that Eagles win.
Well, and it is compelling to see the arc of Jordan Love's, even just the numbers. 2023, he threw for 4,159 yards. He had a quarterback rating of 96.1 that year. He had 32 touchdowns to go with 11 interceptions. And then the passing numbers and yards have just gone down since then. We know largely because of how the receivers have changed. 3,389 yards the next year. 25 touchdowns to the 11 INTs. So that was a setback from the passing game standpoint. Then this year, he's already up to 2,794 yards, but he's only thrown for 3 interceptions and 19 scores. So you see how the offense has changed even in that time.
You could make the argument Jordan Love is on the way to having his best season as a quarterback because his completion percentage at 67% is higher than it's ever been. The interceptions are down, just 3. So he's on pace to turn the ball over single-digit times for the first time in his career in a full season.
It's that part for me. It is when you describe the Green Bay offense as being more efficient this year, that's it. But to pass 4,200 yards, which is what he would have to do, he'd have to get to 4,200 yards, I think, to make the argument for his best year. That's a high bar. And Caleb Williams, you want to see get to that kind of yardage total. Here's the key, though. As we know, Jordan Love's career didn't start out as the main character. So that was in his third season. I don't know that Caleb Williams necessarily has to outthrow Jordan Love on Sunday, but I do want to see Caleb Williams in his third season have those kind of numbers.
I'll say this. When we talk about outplaying one or the other this week, I'm looking less at necessarily the yards thrown for or total yardage, because that could be rushing yards plus passing yards and the number of touchdowns. Did your offense put up a whole bunch of points? Did you take care of the football? Those are the two things I'm going to be looking at, is like, how many points did you score? How many drives did you lead, whether it was a rushing attack involved heavily or not? And then did you fumble it away? Did you get first downs on third and whatever? And did you get your team into the end zone. Because I think ultimately it's going to be field goals versus touchdowns this week.
Well, and Jordan Love did that. I mean, that's exactly what the Packers were able to do against the Lions, throwing for four touchdown passes. And it was the exact opposite, I think, of what we saw the Bears do against the Eagles from that standpoint. You know, like there was the O-line gave him time to throw. He showed you what he was going to do with that. They neutralized, you know, the opposing rush from the Lions in a way that made sense. That's something that we have to keep an eye on from a defensive standpoint for the Bears. That's not Jordan Love out throwing or out dueling Caleb Williams. That's the Bears defensive line and pass rush needing to step up. Being more healthy, I tend to think that that's going to be the case. I don't need Caleb Williams to throw for four touchdown passes.
Although that would be nice.
It would be fantastic. But if he doesn't, I don't think that he has to, quote, outplay him to show what he needs to show.
So I think we're in agreement that it doesn't necessarily have to be Caleb Williams outplaying Jordan Love, as that's the topic we're discussing here on Raheemy Harris and Grody. But I think he has to assert himself in a way to make you feel like the development is continued. And of course, priority number one, the Bears just need to go to Lambeau and get a win to stay at the number one spot in the NFC.
Well, and 815 brings up a good point on their text line, 312-644-6767. When was the last time the Bears won four road games in a row? They could do that this week. The benchmarks keep coming. The good measurements keep coming. And then 847 has a good point, too. Love does turn the ball over at times that are very inopportune. You know, you can make him crumble under pressure in that way. That's something that I feel like Dennis Allen is going to game for. Knowing that he's got a healthier secondary, we can expect more snaps out of Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon this week. Don't you think we're going to see more secondary blitz packages because of it?
I don't know what we're
going to
see.
Or just confusing looks?
So that's the thing. I feel like I'm going to be confused as a viewer when I'm watching what Dennis Allen is doing, because we don't know what he's going to do based on a week-to-week, what he's shown us he's willing to do, depending on who the quarterback is and what the game plan is for that week. But so far, it's been working very well during this five-game winning streak for the Bears, and the fact that they've won 9 out of their last 10 games. And you brought up a great point, or I guess the texter did, and we talk about it, is the road wins in a row. Every time I look at the standings, Layla, I look at that home versus road. They're 4-1 at home. They're 5-2 on the road. But here's the big thing. After this game, if they can find a way to win at Lambeau, there's a level of comfort in knowing that 3 of your last 4 games are at Soldier Field. And knowing you have the ground game that they have. And knowing that TJ Edwards should be back at some point between now and the end of the season. It feels like the Bears are getting whole. And they've got that home field advantage playing. And with home field advantage through the end of the regular season after this week, they can secure home field advantage through the playoffs.
The hope springs eternal with you. I'm just not there to do that math yet, especially when the NFC is this wide open.
Oh, I've got that math on deck.
I do think there's some math when it comes to that's valid when it comes to what happens if they beat the Packers.
Yes.
Then I think it's over 60% odds that they win the division. That's my main stat that I'm kind of drawing from this week. What is your likelihood of winning the division if they beat the Packers on the road? It becomes remarkably higher because of not only the indication of the success, but then also what you're seeing the team do from just a win stacking standpoint, which I never thought that I could say. Even when you look at last year's box score and you see the numbers, it's just it's frustrating to read. For example, Bears 5-12, 1-7 away.
1-7.
Green Bay Packers 11-6, 6-3 at home.
So that was their only road win last year. I guess you're right. I've forgotten about that. But what a whole new world we live in.
A brave new world. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets to Football After Dark at Moretti's in Edison Park on Tuesday, December 16th with special guest Noah Sewell. I am hosting. It is all sponsored by TimberTech Decking and Railing, number one in premium decking. Order free samples at TimberTech.com. Brought to you by Remy Martin VSOP. This is my city. Coming up next here on Raheem Harris and Grody, let's talk about that Bears running game, because Ben Johnson talked to Peter Schrager. And as much as I talked about a possible changing of the guard when it came to, like, Caleb Williams, for example, emerging, there might be what happening before our eyes at running back, and we don't know it. So let's get some more information from Ben Johnson now.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Next.
Listen to Raheem Harris and Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
This will be the 12th play of the drive for the Bears on first and goal. Monongai, the lone setback. Williams under center. Turns, hands to Monongai through the middle, into the end zone for the touchdown. Kyle Monongai has scored for his fourth straight game. And the Chicago Bears answer back with another extended drive. They now lead it 16-9 early here in the fourth quarter.
That courtesy of Westwood One, the work of the artist known as Kyle Monongai. Not formally known, that's just his name. He's just that good.
He's our Monongai now, hasn't he?
Who's your Monongai? Kyle Monongai, 22 carries, 130 yards, and a touchdown against the Eagles in the 24-15 win over the Bears. This is Raheem Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. And Ben Johnson was on with Peter Schrager and his podcast, and we found that yesterday. Ben Johnson had this to say on the Schrager Hour, talking about his fire and ice, his peanut butter and jelly, his, what are we calling these two? His Swift and Monongai?
I think Swift and Monongai, that should be it, because I don't know how long it's going to last.
So then it's what if it's an ephemeral duo, like tulips and what's another bulb flower that dies quickly?
It's a form of torture for opposing defenses. So can we call them S&M?
No.
That's not it.
Also, when you said that in my head, do you know what happened? Rihanna out of nowhere. Nah, come on. Why? Same. Why?
Same. So S&M is out.
I think so. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Grody can add to this.
Okay.
You really want Grody to add on to the S&M nickname?
Here's the thing. I don't know if we want that. I know he will.
Yes, he will.
And yeah, then the whole show explodes. So I feel like that might be a better use of the thought.
We just have to have a designated portion of time for Grody to absorb that and react to that.
Yaha time.
So, yeah, that's a suggestion?
No, Yaha time is like goofing
yucking
off.
It up.
Yeah, that's that's a Lawrence Holmes phrase.
My bad.
So let's listen to. All right, one texter says yes. To, I can't say it.
Yes either, to S&M. Yes.
As we try to figure out the definition of how we want to nickname Swift and Manungai's running game, Ben Johnson had this to say with Peter Schrager.
I got a history with Swifty and, high level player, super explosive. I think what we've seen this year is we've seen a guy that really is starting to trust the scheme more the longer he's in it. And so he's really bringing it to life. I saw more of those second and third level breaking of tackles last week than what we saw earlier in the season. So he's continuing to ascend. And then Kyle Manungai, I mean, holy cow, for a rookie, you would have no idea. Not only is he a hard runner, willing to lower his shoulder, tough to bring down, but like this guy can do it all. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, excellent in pass protection, got a trust level with him that's above and beyond. So
did you see him at Rutgers? Like, did you have any knowledge of him? He kind of just showed up on my screen one day and I'm like, this guy can play.
Well, yeah, I mean, we knew pretty early on there that, okay, I think we got something here. His college tape was impressive. He just didn't have the long speed.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people look at that 40 time and they tend to overlook a player or two. And he's certainly that case.
I'm listening to the way Ben Johnson is describing him. And what I love about Ben Johnson is he gives us so many receipts. He gives us real in real time. This is what I think. And then you circle back to this down the road and tell me if you don't agree with me. He told you he wasn't worried about his running backs room. The suggestion that they needed better running backs. Clearly, he knew what he was talking about. He just needed to get his offensive line in order. Because let me tell you something, Layla. If you got time, you can go train to be a running back and jump in Ben Johnson's offense. You're going to get positive yardage on the day. I'm not saying you're going to get as much as Kyle Manungai or DeAndre Swift.
I can get a half a yard.
Did you see how big those holes were against the Eagles?
Drew Dahlman was like 4 yards. Well, not four. He was about 2 or 3 yards ahead of the line of scrimmage.
You can change direction, right? That's all you have to be able to. As long as you can change direction, you can get positive yardage in Ben Johnson's offense.
I think any head coach is going to say that. I also think that a head coach is going to say, DeAndre Swift in Detroit wasn't an issue. And then we're like, wait a second, why did you guys draft Jahmyr Gibbs when you have DeAndre Swift? And then the next thing you know, he's in Philly. So that's why I'm always a little bit skeptical when it comes to how we see this play out.
So
part of it for me doesn't go away. DeAndre Swift is producing. There's no doubt about that. We wanted to see a downhill runner. What we're seeing is downhill blocking schemes that were resulting in downhill runs. That's good. Kyle Manungai is part of a bigger scope of the plan, which we're seeing is good. But I think the biggest issue here is you're seeing a running back. One running back was drafted in Ben Johnson's offense. And one running back was not. He was signed, and Matt Eberflus was still the head coach. Will it matter in the future? DeAndre Swift will have one more year on his contract after this year.
Yeah, that year that you're talking about, an $8.8 million cap hit. Meanwhile, the dead cap's just $1.3 million. What do you think that's pointing towards after this year?
I thought it was. I mean, it was a larger contract for a running back when it was signed, but he was also the second free agent running back to Saquon Barkley, who had an MVP level season last year for a running back.
And he has fallen back to regular Saquon, which right. is still pretty good.
But the point is, DeAndre Swift is no slouch.
No, he's no slouch, but if they want to, let's say, next offseason add another running back, I think they have a chance to do that and also save a lot of money in letting DeAndre Swift find a new home.
708, S&M is low-key freaking brilliant. That it is. I just care about the kids.
Did you see about getting Grody a safe word when he rejoins us? You didn't see that text?
I mean, I did, but saying it out loud just sounds so much funnier.
I do like 608's suggestion at the top. Flash and gash.
Flash and gash is good.
But Swift is the flash, right?
Yes.
And then Manungai's the gash.
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure we're establishing identities when we come up with these nicknames. I like that one, by the way. I'm kind of out on the Bruise Brothers, by the way.
Why? I liked that one. They're not both the same running style. They're not both bruising. The Bruise Brothers really goes more for the offensive line.
Okay, this top one. I like this suggestion for the nicknames. 262. The nickname that I have been pushing for weeks is the Gremlin for Kyle Manungai. Mogwai is the main gremlin from the movie. I kind of like that.
That movie gave me anxiety.
Well, it's a horror movie, so it should, because how old were you when you watched it?
Like, way too young. I think I was like 6. And I'm like, wait, monsters can happen if water gets on a cute thing? And then I was like, I can't do this.
Well, technically, the water getting on the cute thing just makes more of the cute things. That is, unless you have fed the cute thing after midnight. Once you feed the cute thing after midnight, oh, yes, you want to keep the water far, far away.
My point is, I wanted no part of it. I was like, nope, we're not doing this. And then I didn't watch horror movies pretty much ever again. Like Scream, but that's funny. So I don't really count that. And Final Destination was created.
Scream is funny to you?
Scream has a lot of humor.
It's got a little bit. It's very tense. It brought back like scary movies.
But go back and watch how they rolled in the humor and the references and stuff. You'd be surprised.
Also, Slash and Smash feels good too. I agree with you, 847. I like the simplicity of it. That's why S&M, it's just two letters. It's just two letters getting together.
Getting together. Yes. And 815 with a comment about... the secondary term for gash now, I guess. Yeah, that's
I didn't know that, by the way.
Yeah, that's become an internet thing. I don't mess with all of that.
I am behind.
Manungai looks like Mini Bowser from Super Mario, according to 630. That's not bad.
You can't call him
Mini
Bowser.
Is it snowing again? Ah, crap.
I think that's just the wind blowing the snow from on top of the building.
No, I don't think so.
I think you're right.
Oh, God. Mike Florio joins us next to talk about the news around the NFL. We should probably ask him if he has an idea of who he thinks is going to be in the Coach of the Year race.
Yes.
I feel like it's half the league right now. Ugh, it's snowing again. I don't know what to do. Listen to us. We'll be back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.